Hi, Aisha. Thanks for taking our interview today. So first of all, in your report, you mentioned that the Chinese government has been working with the Taliban regarding the Uyghur population. Can you tell us more about that?
The presence of Uyghurs in Afghanistan has been one of China's biggest concerns, and they've been in touch with the Taliban. So they hosted a Taliban delegation in China even before the Taliban overtook Afghanistan, and that's when the Doha negotiations were ongoing. And basically, what China wants Taliban to do is to give them assurances that Uyghurs will not be allowed to plan any attacks or any activity inside China, especially the Xinjiang province. And we've talked to a lot of China experts who are watching this issue, and they've said that they've seen some movement of Uyghur militant groups from areas that were closer to China. But there is no clear indication as to whether the Taliban have really cracked down on the Uyghurs as much as China wants. But China at this point has no option. It's realized, and we've seen it from public statements coming from China, they've realized that Taliban are the de facto authorities. They're the people they have to work with. And so they're trying to develop both a security relationship with them, but also an economic relationship. And at the core of that is two things. One is this Uyghur problem, and the second is the fact that their Belt and Road Initiative has some of their bigger branches in this region, in particular in Pakistan, and they don't want Afghanistan to become unstable and for that instability to spill over in Central Asia or Pakistan, which would seriously hamper their Belt and Road Initiative.
How about China's relations with Pakistan? Because as we know, Pakistan is part of this China-Pakistan Economic Corridor and part of its Belt and Road Initiative. And there are quite some big projects going on. How are these projects going, and how are those received by the local people?
Well, the China-Pakistan relationship has been strong for decades, and both governments, and it doesn't matter which political party comes to power, they all like to refer to in Pakistan their relationship with China to be higher than the mountains and deeper than the deepest oceans. And so both sides call each other's friends and strategic partners. So the Belt and Road Initiative has a branch called CPEC, or the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, that's supposed to join Xinjiang with a Pakistani port, Gwadar. That's supposed to significantly cut the route that China now has to take. If they can bring their goods through Pakistan to Gwadar, it'll significantly cut their route to Europe and to Middle East. And so this project started mostly in around like 2000 and 13, 14, and in the administration of Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, who was the brother of, by the way, the current Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif. This project really took off. It was all over. The government was supporting it. You saw the number of Chinese companies in Pakistan increase. You saw Chinese renting houses in Pakistan, etc. And then we saw a change in government, and Imran Khan became the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And during his tenure, we saw a slowing down of CPEC. And in fact, one of the statements his government gave in the first year was that they would investigate all the CPEC projects and to see if the prior regime, which was their political rivals, if they took any financial kickbacks. And China was not happy with Pakistan because during that time, Pakistan signed a deal with the IMF because Pakistan wasn't doing well financially. And as part of the deal, Pakistan shared some information about CPEC with IMF that China did not want them to share. China wanted all of that information to remain confidential. So CPEC has been up and down, but overall, it's one of the biggest investment projects that any other country has promised to carry out in Pakistan in decades. It started with $46 billion, and the eventual valuation was a lot higher than that. So for Pakistan, this project is very important, and there seems to be work ongoing.
And how's this new prime minister's policy compare to his predecessors? And how's the prospect look for China-Pakistan relationship in the future?
With the previous prime minister, since he made a couple of statements about CPEC, promising to open up CPEC projects to investigate kickbacks, or sharing some information about those projects with IMF, the relationship with China soured a little bit. China wasn't happy with him. However, this prime minister, again, as I said earlier, this prime minister, Shehbaz Sharif, is the brother of Nawaz Sharif, who was the prime minister when CPEC started in Pakistan. And so the expectation is that the relationship between this prime minister, Shehbaz Sharif, and China is going to be very good. Shehbaz Sharif, when CPEC started, was the chief minister of one of Pakistan's most populous provinces, Punjab. And he had a reputation for bending over backward when it came to Chinese and protecting them and giving them what they wanted in his own province. He ordered the police to completely provide them security wherever the Chinese went. The province's bureaucracy really facilitated them and went out of their way to facilitate them. And that was Shehbaz Sharif's reputation. So now that he's back in power, the expectation is that A, the projects under CPEC will become faster, the delivery on them will become faster, and B, the China-Pakistan relationship will improve.
Speaking of that, what about U.S.-Pakistan relations? What kind of role does U.S. play in Pakistan?
So U.S. and Pakistan have had a roller coaster relationship, not now, but for decades. So there have been times when U.S. and Pakistan have been the closest partners, and then there have been times when the U.S. has put sanctions on Pakistan. So a very similar thing happened. So in Afghanistan has usually been the focal point of the two countries' relationship. It has been one of the biggest complaints of Pakistan that the U.S. views Pakistan from an Afghanistan prism, and rather than having a bilateral relationship with Pakistan, it has a relationship with Pakistan that's Afghanistan-centric. And in fact, in the previous regime of Imran Khan, the foreign minister once said that he was told by Mike Pompeo, who was at that time the Secretary of State of the United States, that for Pakistan, the road to Washington went through Kabul. So Pakistan is again and again in the previous regime of Prime Minister Imran Khan, which was recently, overturned. He was ousted as the prime minister through a parliamentary vote of confidence in a constitutional way. But his political opponents managed to oust him and make their own government. But Imran Khan and United States relationship was not good under President Biden. Imran Khan's relationship was good with President Trump, but when President Biden came into power, President Biden, who's known this region for a very long time and understands the history of this region, was not happy with Pakistan's role in Afghanistan. The U.S. intelligence community has long stated, and there's strong evidence for that, that Pakistan supported the Taliban. They provided the Taliban leadership safe havens in Pakistan, which was why they were able to continue their insurgency successfully in Afghanistan. So the U.S. military and intelligence community blames Pakistan for the Taliban's successes, the Taliban eventually taking over the country and ousting the regime that was supported by the U.S. and the West, which was the regime of President Ashraf Ghani. One of the biggest complaints of Imran Khan when he was the prime minister was that President Biden never called him. They never had a phone conversation, which was quite unusual. And he tried very, very hard, lobbied through his diplomats in Washington to get that one phone call. In fact, it became such an issue that he was asked in multiple interviews by not just local media, but also international media about the call and why the call wasn't forthcoming. So the relationship wasn't so well. This new government has just come into power. Pakistan is now facing a very dire economic situation. They're hoping that the U.S. would help them. And in fact, there were outreaches by the Pakistani senior military and civilian leadership to U.S. to help them with negotiating with the IMF and getting relief from the IMF. So it's too early to say exactly what the U.S.-Pakistan relationship is and where it's going to go. But it seems like the negativity that existed during Imran Khan's regime has kind of subsided a little bit.
Okay, thank you, Aisha, for connecting with us today.